fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand, so let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
Good evening. It is 106 FM Talk, Common Sense Town Hall Radio. You're right where you need to be. I am not Pete Rehm. I am the better half. I am the Quality Assurance Research Department filling in for your favorite Pete Rehm. He is on assignment.
Our vast research department.
It's vast. And I just got a pay upgrade. Getting paid more now that Elon Musk bought our show out. We have a better budget.
He's so, just taking over everything.
He is. And again, we are cleared. So feel free. We're cleared from the Ministry of Truth. We've been approved. No one's looking for us. Anything you hear tonight will be automatically approved by the Biden administration. So we're doing good. Tonight, it's me, your co-host, normally the anchor tonight, just filling in for Pete. We have a great show lined up. We have an exceptional guest coming up in one of our segments. I'll tell you more about that next. But we also have our wonderful engineer, as Pete says, who is a wizard. Oh, yeah. With the electrons.
Hey, I didn't,
on the mic.
I didn't do that.
Well, the electrons are jumpy, you know, with inflation and everyone's on edge. But Charlie Moss holds it down. He keeps us going. We're glad you're here tonight on the board. How's your day been?
Oh, my day's been just wonderful. The electrons moving along a copper wire bouncing from molecule to molecule or atom to atom, you know, that's electricity.
Yeah.
And back in the day, my friend Ben almost convinced me to hold that kite string in the thunderstorm. And that's how I wound up getting a $200 a month light bill all these years later.
Well, can you add in friends and family to your discount? Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe. Well, you know, there is a lot going on. And, you know, it's been a bit of a land yap today with our weather. We don't get days like today. It's almost perfect in Mobile. So
yeah,
it's been one of those days.
Had,
there's so much going on.
We've had about a week of it, except occasionally breezy.
Yeah. But it's been hard to kind of stay focused. But, again, there's way more than we can cover in an hour. So I'm going to jump right in. Again, if you want to send us your insults, injuries, praises, whatever it is, text us at 251-343-0106 or give us a call. We'd love to hear your thoughts on our topics. First and foremost, I think we have to kind of come back full circle. Last week, the big talk was, will Elon Musk actually buy Twitter? He did. The mainstream media melted down. And now, just what was that, maybe Monday when it actually happened?
I think so.
And I, you know, I've been kind of like a half middle Twitter user. I follow a lot more than I post and tweet. I don't do that a whole lot, but I do like to read. I also just like to see what they're saying mostly.
Sure.
And it has been astounding to see how my feed has changed. I forgot that I followed so many wonderful patriots, and all of a sudden now I see what they're saying. Clay Higgins today.
They're back.
He's back. He was grilling Mayorkas, which we're going to get into a little bit. Chip Roy, you know, just some of these people, you feel alone. And I believe that's so much what this battle's been about. They don't want the voices of truth out there because, again, we're doing this show right now not to inform you. We're doing this show to encourage you. The point of freedom and freedom of speech sometimes is just to encourage one another. You know, that's the thing. And so it's been kind of a breath of fresh air to see some of the old folks, oh, yeah, I forgot about this guy. He's awesome. He's always talking about things. And again, you didn't realize how much suppression had been going on. Now, Twitter's back down and said, well, by the way, we didn't have nearly as many users as we claimed. You know, it's just been kind of comical to watch it all unfold in one sense and very pleasing on the other hand. But to yesterday, we come out and hear now that DHS, who's supposed to be in charge of Homeland Security, they're not that worried about what's going on in Texas at our border, but they are very worried about, oh, no, we don't have the censors now at Twitter. We must engage. So now we have formed a from DHHS, the Disinformation Governance Board. Now, that sounds just to me like, remember this book I brought in?
Is that a federal agency?
It is. And I guess, you know, they're in charge of securing things.
A disinformation board.
Well, right. And I carried in my orange paper copy of
1984.
Yes. And it's all beat up because I brought it into the show over the years so many times. It's full of sticky notes and stuff because what happens, it gets, you know, you think we saw, oh, that's so Orwellian. But then every day that passes, it's more and more. So if you haven't ever read the book, if it's been a long time since you read the book, you've got to get it out and reread it. But basically in this dystopian society, they call it Ministry of all kinds of things. Well, one of the things is the Ministry of Truth. So what sounds like to you the Disinformation Governance Board? The Ministry of Truth.
Mm-hmm.
Who can say what? What can they say? And remember, freedom is slavery. You know, up is down. It's the doublespeak that would come out of the Ministry of Truth. So I find it quite odd that just a couple days after Twitter, you know, moves out its censorship, now we have our big bad government, you know, moving in to really take care of business, even though everything's imploding at the border and that's what they should be working on. Nope, not so much. You know, and it just goes back to what are we fighting for? I get very frustrated. We're coming up in primary election season. It's getting really busy. If you are following any candidates, if you're looking at races, here in Alabama, the governor's race is going to be a big one. It's very important. Our Senate race is an important one. But there's all kinds of other races. But here, my point, coming back to the Elon Musk thing, the Twitter thing, Ministry of Truth, it's very shameful and a little frustrating, well, actually very frustrating, that everyday America is way more interested in what Elon Musk does with his own money than how the current regime burns through your money at mind-numbing rates, doing just heinous things, to be quite honest. Much like, you know, like it'd be one thing if they were just remaining neutral and spending money like drunken sailors, but they're not. They're doing things actively that we believe as patriots, as Republicans, as freedom-loving Americans, that just destroy our nation. So, you know, I'm all for following this censorship story. It's very important. But to be quite honest, Elon Musk is not the most important item to be viewing right now. You need to be looking at who's running for your school board, your local school board. Do you even know? We got a race coming here in Mobile County. School board, those people sit on that seat for 6 years. 6 years. That's a long time. So, again, it's one thing to pay attention to the stories that the mainstream media tells us to pay attention to, but it's also another to remember who is being funded by your dollars. Where are your tax dollars going? The next time you get your property value assessment, take a look at that pie chart. It's in that I just got mine in the mail this week for the upcoming bill that'll be due in October. You have a little bit of time to dispute it, and so they send it out early. Don't throw that away this year. I challenge you to get it out, look at it, and there's a pie chart, and it shows you of your total amount of taxes that are being paid, how much goes to what. In Mobile County particularly, it's a huge chunk, way over half, close to 75% goes to the school board. They get over $3,000 per student. So, again, folks, it's real easy to get distracted by whatever shiny object the mainstream media puts into your face. But this is the time. There are things you can do about it. There are things you can be responsible. You can see how, again, in your backyard, how your money is being spent. And to be quite honest, that's your job as a patriot, that we don't end up falling into a complete dystopian society, even though, to be quite honest, it feels like on every turn that could be happening.
I wanted to share something real quick on this point. Around the year 2000, for about 8 years, I worked as a Title I facilitator and teacher at Azalea Road Middle School. And one of the things we had to do is to prepare the budget for the federal funds.
Right.
And the budget for the whole school, I got a chance to look at it, and it was like $4.3 million to operate that one school. Most of that was salaries, but not all of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm thinking that's a lot of money for one school.
It sure is.
But I also worry that teachers are kind of getting it on the chin undeservedly.
Sure,
because I won't say 100%, but most of the teachers I knew really worked hard and followed the Alabama course of study and looked out for their kids.
And honestly, a lot of the really good ones are just countdown days till they can get out because, you know, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
Well, folks, give us your calls at 343-0106. We'd love to hear your thoughts, and we'll be right back after this break.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
We're back, folks. I hope you found your seat and you're ready to hear all the crazy things we have. But if you have dipped your toe into the crazy mortgage market, housing market, and it is crazy, folks, I actually kind of did a little looking around. And let me tell you what is happening. It's a great time to sell. But if you're looking to buy, you got to move fast. So you need to get up with Brian Dewberry at Mission First Mortgage. He'll get you ready. He'll have your rates available to you. So if you find that gem and you want to make that move, you got to be ready to go. So give him a call. Brian Dewberry, Mission First Mortgage, 251-289-1141. Now, back before the break, we were just kind of going on about freedom of speech, how it's getting more and more Orwellian every day. What's up is down. What's down is up. Freedom, slavery, you know, slavery's freedom. On and on it goes. Well, Biden today, it's come out, and we know now about Mayorkas. He's the DHS secretary. So not only did he, in his 1 week, create the Ministry of Truth, he also has been grilled a little bit and just blatantly lying in front of Congress in some hearings. But Title 42, basically, if you haven't heard yet, was just some COVID measure protection that was put in place in the Trump administration to keep people out, is really from the CDC. It gave them the authority to turn people around at our border because, well, if we have a pandemic, the last thing you need is people just coming across the border and we have no way to vet what their medical status is. So Biden says, no, we don't need that anymore. It's time to get rid of it. You know, we've already said, since he's taken office, it's estimated there's probably 2.5 million people have flooded into our country. That's what we know of. So it's already increased incrementally. Mayorkas sits up there and lies and says that they inherited a problem. It's a blatant lie because, to be quite honest, it took a few years under Trump, but it was getting under control. COVID hit. He put Title 42 in place. So, no, the Biden administration did not inherit a problem or a mess. It was relatively stable. So now, this Title 42, they're trying to get it removed, but a judge has struck it down and was like, nope, we can leave it in place. Guess who's appealing it? The Biden administration.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what else they're appealing? They're also appealing the mask removal of the mandate onto airlines. So which is it, Jen Psaki? Do we need to worry about the pandemic or not? Because to me, if it's still so bad, you need to wear it on the plane. I do think we still need to keep, you know, everybody and his brother from flooding our border. How long will you sit here and listen to this administration, you know, whatever on your leg and tell you that it's raining? I mean, this is just getting out of hand. It's awful. And then again, people have no clue what it's really like for these property owners, ranchers, people that are still trying to make it a living, trying to feed our American people through cattle, whatever. You know, it's out of hand. It's out of control. What have you heard about that today?
Well, I was going to ask you, is Mayorkas, is that how you pronounce it?
It looks like the word mayor with K-A-S at the end.
Mayorkas. Anyhow, yeah. He told the committee, first of all, that they have the border under control. And when asked if what they were going to do to replace this thing, it's about to expire, he said, and I quote, we have a plan.
Oh, yeah.
But he
we
never
know what the plan
nobody asked him, well, what is the plan?
Well, for those of us that have been paying attention and understand the things like the Great Reset, and we understand there's a plan. You better believe there's one.
See,
but
how
it's
many
not
we can
to
get in.
Yep, there's many plans. Who do we have a caller? Let's see who we have on line one.
I think this is the ticked off department chairman. Go ahead, Ty.
All right. Now listen, I'm going to quote a classic line from a classic movie, and I don't know if either one of you remember it, but if you haven't seen it, go see it. You can get it online. But it's from way back. This is the Wayback Machine. But it sums up exactly how I feel. Mm-hmm. And the line is, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, hey, you know what I've been saying, and
I think.
Yeah, that's it. You're right. Look, if your blood's not boiling, it's clotting. This is what's happening. I mean, hello, when are we? I don't know. If you can't see what's happening by now, I don't know that we can even help you. But most of us do know what's going on. We see what's happening. We see what our wallets are shrinking. We see, you know, crime's out of control. You name it, nothing's gotten better since January of 2021. We know that much.
Well, in this movie, by the way, it is like a complete forecast of the future. It was made in 1976, and it discusses all the things that are going on now. Inflation, the high price of gasoline, the high rate of crime. I mean, it's really, and there's one line in there where Peter Finch, who played Howard Beale, the guy that goes nuts, and he gets everybody, he has an anchor on a TV news program, and he tells everybody to stop watching the TV show and to go out, stick their heads out of their windows, and just scream, I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take this anymore. But one of the lines is, a dollar now only buys 5 cents worth of goods.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was back in 1976.
Yeah.
A dollar now buys maybe 50 cents worth of goods. It's absolutely ridiculous. And you know what? What really burns me up, if some poor slob criminal goes into a convenience store and robs them of a few $100s, they'll put him under the jail.
Yeah.
But our government is committing legalized robbery by their monetary and fiscal policies. And there have been items, every time you go to the grocery store, which of course none of these leaders do because they have their help to do that. But I have found out just in the last year or two, there are many items that have gone up 33%.
Yeah.
And you,
well,
you stop,
and that,
you know,
and you know, to be quite honest,
it.
I don't think we've seen nothing yet, to put it quite honestly.
No, and this is the sad thing. It's going to get a lot worse.
Yep.
I think the 1929 crash was the all-time worst, although 2008 was pretty close.
Right.
But I think what's going to happen next, and it is inevitable because of all this spending and the national debt and so forth, the next crash, which could happen very soon, is going to make the 1929 crash look like a Sunday school picnic.
Well, yeah, and you're right. And look, and here's the thing, Ty. You know, in one hand, you can look at all this and you can say, well, it's just so terrible. There's nothing I can do. That's what they want us to think. We are not there yet. Now, granted, they've inflicted some real blows, and it may be we might not ever recover in our lifetime. But you know what? I'm going to fight as long as I'm breathing. The ministry of truth can come for me. And you know what? At some point, every person needs to have a line in the sand by which they know their conscience will object to, and they understand, I'm not going to cross that line no matter what. I'm not going to compromise. And I am going to stand up for truth. And I'm going to look for whatever I'm called to do in my circle. And so there are things. And so, look, we appreciate your call, Ty. Keep on listening. Send us your texts and calls. And, yeah, you're spot
y'all keep
on, dude.
Up the good work, because I know y'all are fighters, and the word needs to get out to wake up the dumbed down masses out there.
Well, that's right. And look, we have a special treat. I'm going to go ahead and introduce her now, so we'll have plenty of time. We're going to just let you give you a little taste of what's coming.
Thank you, Ty, for calling.
Oh, yeah,
thank you.
Ty. I thought you had already hung up. But no, thank you so much for calling. Speaking of fighters, we have one sitting in the room with us tonight. We live in the studio, a candidate over in Baldwin County running for House District 96. Danielle Duggar's here tonight. Danielle, thank you for joining this crazy, weird crew.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Explains the boxing gloves, doesn't it?
Yes.
That's right.
And she will take them off. I've seen her before. She will take the gloves off if need be. She's a mom of three.
That's right.
She has... Tell us what degrees you hold.
Sure. Well, I have a bachelor's in English and Literature, and I teach part-time English and Reading ACT prep. And I am about to finish up my master's in American History. So I've got that thesis to write.
Yep.
I'm waiting till after the election.
But you know a little bit about the Constitution, right?
I've studied it.
Just a little bit in depth.
Yes.
And so before we go to the break, just to kind of wet everyone's whistle, tell us what was the turning point when you were like Ty and you said, mm-hmm. I'm mad as hell and I've had enough.
Oh, it was the lockdowns. It was the very beginning of COVID. And everyone was saying, no, this is an emergency. You know, don't worry about your rights. We've got to save mm-hmm. lives. And I knew right then and there that this was bad news.
Was it more, was it your mama bear instincts? And
yes.
Maybe your patron, like, was it a combination?
Yes. I knew I was going to have to protect my family.
Yeah.
I didn't know what was coming down the line. My husband's job ended up being threatened. Mm-hmm. You know, our schools were closed.
Yeah.
There was talk of forced vaccinations for all citizens. So I was nervous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what, folks? There's plenty of time to hear more about Danielle Duggar. You don't want to miss this. Stay tuned. Give us your calls. Give us your text at 343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
And we are back, folks. And unfortunately, you cannot call and talk to Pete tonight. He's on assignment, but you can call and talk to me. And as always, we have wit and wisdom brought to you by our great President Ronald Reagan.
Well, the trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
It never gets better than that one. I love that one. I say that all the time. And again, we were just talking about Orwellian. It isn't that they have bad intentions, is like he said. They just know so much that isn't so. And they're beginning to worship it like a dead idol. You know, in the Old Testament, it gives those illustrations of like, the people knew these were just graven images. They're just little idols. They knew that they were dead and they had no power, but they would worship them anyway. I think of Kamala Harris. She was considered COVID positive this week. But the first thing she comes out and says, I am just so grateful and thankful that I have been triple-dipple-dipple jabbed and boosted. And it's like, but you still have the thing you're saying that this, it's like, it's an insanity, almost like a cult. And again, you can't argue with that. They know so much that isn't so.
I'll tell you one thing she doesn't have is a weekly luncheon with the president.
No.
That came out today.
Well, and she keeps dropping staffers like flies.
But it's only been a couple of times they got together since Joe Biden became president.
But yeah, that's a great quote. It never gets old. Again, the wit and wisdom of Reagan. You miss it more with every passing day. If you want to know a little bit more about kind of some topics, and please go to renewamerica.com. Pete's newest column is Americans Are Tired of Democrat Duplicity. And who isn't? Like I was just saying, how long are we going to let them sit here and tell us this isn't inflation? It's just masking how wonderful the economy is. You know, at some point, you do stand up and say every time your mouth moves, a lie oozes out. We know this now. And what are we going to do about it? But someone who does know the truth and will stand for it and will not lie and will fight and is very Reagan-esque is Danielle Duggar. And she's with us here tonight. Thanks again, Danielle, for being with us.
Thank you, Teresa. You're too kind.
Well, before the break, you were giving us a little bit of your background. You were describing some of your graduate work, what's inspired you over the years, basically being a mom, and what led you to kind of hit that point of like, I'm not going to take this anymore. There is more we can do. So give us a little bit of today. As today, you're running for House District 96. Where is that at?
Daphne, Spanish Fort, Blakely, Bromley, Malbus, and Montrose.
In Baldwin County. Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And what is, let's see, here's a good question too. What would be one of the first things you would want to do if elected?
First thing I want to do is get permanent protection for our people. We need protections from federal overreach, from state overreach, from, you know, COVID-esque style mandates.
Right. You were just saying, we were talking even a little bit off air, you know, one of the things that everybody kind of has that line, that moment where you just realize, wait, life has changed. It's not the America I know. And these are things I have to do. And it started with some of these egregious mandates, blatant government overreach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it even really brought you to tears because mm-hmm. you just realized this can't stand.
Right.
And so as a legislator, one of the things you could do would be, like you said, to enact some never again legislation.
Yes.
And
yes.
work for that.
Yes.
So that would be a voice for freedom many of us would be happy to have. How would you describe your differences between you and your challenger? What sets you apart?
Well, you know, based on his voting record is really, you know, all mm-hmm. we can go on is how he voted. So let's look at that. So he, you know, first year in office voted for the gas tax. You know, not just my opponent, many in the legislature voted for that. That raised our taxes. You know, that cost Alabamians $320 million.
And it was kind of sneaky because it didn't happen at once. It really didn't happen.
It was incremental.
It's incremental, mm-hmm. and it didn't do anything for a while.
Yeah, and you know, there's that promise that, okay, well, we need this for infrastructure, and this is going to fund our roadways. Well, mm-hmm. how much of that is really coming back down to South Alabama?
Yeah.
Do we have a strong voice for South Alabama that's bringing
right.
that money back down here, or is it all staying up near around Montgomery and Birmingham?
And let's just be honest, how important Baldwin County is to the state of Alabama as far as revenue. The last time I checked, Mobile, if you count Dauphin Island, but primarily the beaches are in Baldwin County.
Right.
And the revenue they generate is critical.
Baldwin is the fourth most traveled county in the state. So we are paying a large chunk of that gas tax up to the capital.
Yeah. Fastest growing, isn't it?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I believe it's the fastest growing. It's the fourth most traveled and I think the third largest.
Right.
Size-wise.
Growth is definitely booming.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that you would be very conscientious about, I'm sure. But not to move too far from the gas tax, the next issue would be the toll. And if you're a listener and you're maybe listening online, in South Alabama, the toll bridge is a huge issue
mm-hmm.
To so many people. So, Danielle, tell us quickly where you are on the toll.
Well, I am 100% against the toll. We don't need a toll. We can build a bridge without a toll. The toll, I think, was the easy way out. They decided, you know, we're going to stick Mobile and Baldwin with this toll.
Yeah.
And the people were angry. And there was public outcry, and they took it off their list. You know, the MPO took it off the list and said, okay, we're not going to do it. Well, now it's snuck back on.
Mm.
I'm 100% against the toll. I will fight tooth and nail to prevent that from, you know, costing our citizens here in Mobile and Baldwin County. We're going to shoulder the brunt of that.
And it's really quite cruel in a way because now, again, with you add 2 million people to a population, I-10 is a major corridor. It goes from California all the way across to Jacksonville, Florida. So the only way to actually get there is you have to cross this one bridge. So it's actually on top of it, an interstate.
Right.
That's why it's a controversial toll, folks. If you know, you're out of town and you're like, well, why is it such a big deal? We have tolls here.
Mm-hmm.
And well, there's a lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot of BP oil spill money that many think, well, why can't some of that money, shouldn't that have fixed this bridge a long time ago? Because on a weekend, you can't get across the bay mm-hmm. in a normal amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
It backs up. It's just, it can't hold the traffic anymore. So it's a need, and it's almost cruel that they've been dragging out this toll issue because our legislatures, and much like your challenger, won't stand up and say, no, we're going to get the bridge, but we can pay for it not by a toll.
And I'm not sure what the issue is, you know,
well,
why they're doing this. This is a federal highway. Multiple, I'm sure, influences that are preventing anyone from sticking their neck out and putting an end to this. But we've got to get that strong voice for South Alabama that's going
to
do that.
So is it fair to say a summary of your platform would be no gas tax, no tolls,
and then no mandates.
No mandates. Right. Okay.
Yeah. I am a freedom-loving person.
Yeah.
You know, I want to keep taxes low. I want to keep government small. I want to keep our freedoms. It doesn't matter if we have a pandemic or a national emergency or a world war. It doesn't matter. We don't suspend our constitutional rights because of a temporary issue. Even if it were a permanent issue, we still don't suspend our constitution. We have the right to worship in church. We have the right to free and open marketplace. We have the right to public education. These are rights that we don't just halt them because we're in the middle of a pandemic.
And I mean, I'm to the point, you know, I've looked at what's going on in Montgomery, in D.C., even in, you know, my municipality here. To me, if you're an incumbent, there's really no reason I want to keep you around. And here's the thing I'm getting at, folks. If you are still the type of person who thinks, I don't even know who's running for this small office, I just want to go vote for the governor, I'm just going to click the R guy because he's been around and he has experience. Well, let me tell you what. If your experience hasn't been something of the likes of maybe a Rand Paul or somebody where I have seen you fighting, where you've been beside me on the Capitol steps fighting for my kids and their bodily autonomy and doing things where I can see that you're not trying to go with the establishment, I'm sorry. Thank you for your service. But next, please.
Yes.
So what I'm saying to you, if you're listening, take some time. Look up Daniel Duggar. Where would they go to find you?
DanielleDuggar.com. That's DUGGAR.com. Okay. I also have a Facebook page, Danielle Duggar for Alabama House District 96.
Great. So they could go there if they want to get involved, if they're local.
Yes.
You don't even have to live in District 96 to help any candidate. And it's actually really fun to get involved in a campaign. So I just encourage you, don't just go with, oh, well, I don't really know this guy, but he's been in office for a while. I'm just going to vote for him or her. Take the time. Go down ballot. If you Google your sample ballot by whatever county you live in right now, you can pull it right up. It'll show you what you'll see when you walk in on May 24th. Go through. If there's two names on there and they're going against each other, look up both of them. See which platform fits you better. And then I suggest give the challenger a little bit of a benefit of the doubt, because what's happening is I don't think people understand how late the hour is. If you think, I'll just get involved next time, or the elections are rigged anyway, there's nothing I can do. You know what? You're aiding and abetting evil. You're aiding and abetting the loss of freedom, and there's no excuse for it.
And these races are going to be won or lost by a few hundred votes.
They are. They're very small races. But let me tell you what else, folks. It doesn't matter what Fox News is talking about. It doesn't matter what Mayorkas is talking about in D.C., honestly, because you can't affect that so much. You can affect what's happening in your local races. So get on board, pay attention, do your homework. This is a great time to get out and meet candidates too right now.
Yes.
Where are you going to be next?
I will be out Saturday. I'm going to be at the Delta and Wood festival thing.
Five
we're doing
Rivers
out
Delta,
at Five Rivers Delta
on the Causeway.
On Saturday, I'm going to be doing a walk Saturday morning, walk with mom at Spanish Fort Middle School. I'm going to be out all weekend long delivering signs and knocking on doors.
Great. So there you have it, folks. Find out who your local candidates are. Go to Danielle Duggar's website, check out her platform, and then give us a call at 343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
And we are back, folks, and you can't talk to Pete, but you can talk to me, and you can also talk to Danielle Duggar. So give us your calls at 343-0106. So we were just finishing up a really intriguing interview with Danielle Duggar. She is running for House District 96. She's just a mom, but she's a mama bear, and she is also a constitutional patriot. One thing she is also very, very smart, very book smart. She actually tutors kids on ACT tests, and she knows a lot. She's very, very, very educated. So she also understands the educational system. So real quick, Danielle, also give us your stance on Common Core and what you know about it and why, what you do about it if
sure.
you're elected.
Yeah, sure. Well, we need to remove it. We need to remove the remnants of it completely from our education system. A lot of people don't understand. They thought, you know, we got rid of Common Core. It was mm-hmm. celebrated few years back. Ivy celebrated that, but we still have it. We have the Alabama College and Career Ready Standards. They are nearly identical in math.
So they renamed it math. To sort of trick everybody, basically.
Well, yeah. Kind of. I mean, they got rid of it by name, but not by function. So
you're saying we need to go back to traditional instruction?
We do. We need to go back to students memorizing facts in K through 5 education in math. You know, Common Core, they're trying to teach, they're trying to help students understand these concepts behind, you know, the basic arithmetic, multiplication tables.
Which isn't bad
tables.
In and of
it's
itself.
Not a bad
it is not.
Idea
That's not
in
what
theory.
Saying. Yeah.
But these, the children's minds are not, it's not developmentally appropriate. Mm-hmm. Kids at that age learn through repetition. They learn mm-hmm. through memorization. Mm-hmm. If you've raised a child, you know, you start singing ABCs mm-hmm. and what is the doggy mm-hmm. saying? What is the duck saying? You say the same things over mm-hmm. and over and over again, and that's how they learn. They watch the same shows over again. They sing the same nursery rhymes. That's how children's right. brains develop. They learn best through memorization, and that continues all through early childhood. Yeah. I'm not saying some children can't understand these concepts, but it's best to learn through repetition and memorization. Then once they're older, we can start delving into, okay, yeah. now here's the why. Here's why we carry a 1 when right. we are adding and right. you go over base value 10. Like mm-hmm. those concepts, these are things you learn in, you know, in my undergrad, I took 2 courses, basic concepts of elementary math 1 mm-hmm. and 2, and they teach you the how and the why behind right these right. math lessons yeah. that you're going to teach your K through 5 students. And I'm telling you, I'm not great at math. English and history and literature is my strong suit. But these were difficult concepts to understand. Yeah. I wasn't the only one in class struggling with these concepts. You're learning different base value systems. You're trying to understand why, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. So it's complicated, and these aren't easy concepts for students to grasp either. So,
well, and honestly, it's not a new thing. As in Common Core, we've been fighting it for over 10 years. And look at where our state lies. Are we literally last, or are we 49?
I mean, 52nd in math. We're behind okay. some districts in okay. D.C.
Oh, okay.
It's really bad. It's really bad. And Common Core is not just a failure here in Alabama. It's been a failure nationwide. There was that national push from, you know, from the federal government down to the states to adopt these Common Core standards, and we have not removed them completely. And instead of removing them, our legislature voted through the Numeracy Act this session, and that basically codifies those standards, because now we've got hundreds of millions of dollars yearly being spent on these math tutors to go out and tutor the teachers how to teach this Common Core math.
So we're spending money to teach the teachers how to teach what they already intuitively really know how to teach.
Right. I want to give you an example.
Yeah.
After I retired, after 35 years of teaching, I subbed for another 6 years. One time at Griggs Elementary, I was subbing for a second grade class, and it came time for math. And the instruction to me was, because I taught math a lot of years, but I never taught Common Core, didn't have a clue how it works, and frankly don't want to know. I carried my class to another second grade teacher. They spent about a half an hour working one problem of adding a three-digit number to a three-digit number, and they had it scripted. The kids were raising hands. I don't agree with that, and whatever. Wow. Never once did they mention grouping.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's 1 to 9, and if you get one more, it goes over into the tens column.
Right.
You know, and
well, and we're so behind. We don't have time. We're behind on a lot of things. And then, you know, we never really got Common Core cleaned up. So now we have CRT to fight. We have the behavioral emotional learning, which is evil. So now it's almost like there's so many other fish to fry, but I think it started with, you know, we kind of let this slip through the cracks. And so Danielle knows the importance
of
education.
Well, when I first started teaching in the early mid-60s, we were doing standardized math in elementary school.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, modern math came out so somebody could sell a ton of new textbooks.
That's right.
That lasted about 3 years, and scores were falling apart. When they were in high school, they couldn't do the math. So then they went to transitional math, which meant throw out all those other books and buy another tens of hundreds of thousands
of books. Well, it is. It's part of making the money. Yeah.
And I want to also tell you a secret, and I'm sure it hadn't changed. The textbooks that we adopt in Alabama are copied from Texas or California because those are the major markets for textbooks. Well, so when our teachers have a choice, those choices come from the choices in Texas or California.
Right. There's really not that many textbook designers.
Well, they're trying to get away from textbooks.
Well, they really already have. I mean, my kids don't have books. And it makes me so mad. They are different.
And it's difficult for the parents because they're giving this instruction in class. The students are coming home. Mm-hmm. They're trying to do their homework at home.
Mom and dad can't help them.
Exactly. Right. They don't understand what they're trying to do. You can get to the answer, but the student says, no, that's not how my teacher does it.
Which aids and abets the whole cultural shift and breakdown of where that's what they want.
So
they want the kids. They want to dissemble the family unit. And though that might seem innocuous and you might be like, oh, you're exaggerating, it is not an exaggeration. Because now, overnight, it feels like now we're having to fight school boards just to protect our kids from having some, you know, crazy liberal telling their kid that a boy's a girl and a girl's a boy. And you can pick whatever you want to be, if you want to be an animal or a boy. So it's spiraled fast, and I think it's all still very connected. But Danielle, you're very astute to all of those things. Look, folks, we are running out of time, but before the night ends, I still want to hit a few things because there's still a ton of stuff going on in the world. Real quick, COVIDistan. I always like to talk about COVID fascism. It has not died just because they said you don't have to wear your mask on the airplane. Please don't think it's went away. Keep looking for these stories. Look, folks, again, if your blood isn't boiling from what the insanity you're seeing daily from our politicians, from our so-called governors, you know, your blood is probably clotting because now we're being normalized. It's trying to be normalized to think blood clots, strokes, all these things, even in children, is normal. It's not. All of these stories are still coming out. The Ukraine-Russian conflict drags on. Our lovely dementia in chief just sent $33 billion more over, stumbles through a speech. He literally glazes over in a speech, knowing while we're still heading toward a recession, we're still heading toward our own food shortages, we don't have our border under control, still sending money ever. So, folks, we appreciate you being right where you should be at Common Sense.
How can we get in touch?
Town Hall Radio. Oh, yeah, before we leave, yes, we will post Danielle's website on our Facebook page and give them one more time your website, Danielle.
DanielleDugger.com.
That's it, folks.
Thank you for having me.
And we got just a few seconds before the music.
Well, okay. I thought you had me running over, Charlie. I have so much to say. But like I said,
you're close.
This is the time. This is candidate season. It does look dark. The days look like they're full of doom and gloom, and they are in many ways. But guess what? We still live in the land and the free of the brave, and you can do something, folks. So get out, meet your candidates, and we will see you next week.